station, reminding us to place principles before personality. Now, Tom, it's my pleasure to introduce the speaker to you. I guess it's happened all day. I met this woman about 5 minutes ago. I don't know her. I'm very anxious to hear her speak on the topic, and I would like you to help me welcome Jill from Martha's Vineyard.
You don't have to leave. You can stay right here.
Okay, I'll stay.
I'm an addict. My name is Jill.
Hi, Jill.
Hi. I'm smiling. I'm looking at everyone coming in here, and I thought I was going to be full of fear. And why am I chosen to do this topic? And I didn't want to tell you all about my personal sex life. That's what I thought it was. And I feel good. I feel a lot of love. You know, and then I started thinking about, well, what kind of love? Is this the unconditional kind, you know, or is this a conditional kind of lust? Or, you know, and I played a lot of games with the topic. I didn't have too many days to do that. I was just informed a couple days ago that they wanted me to share on this topic. And I got to be honest, I was a little bit embarrassed at first. And I thought to myself, why am I embarrassed, you know? Because it hits home with me, and I read a lot of things into the two words separately, you know. And then when I saw that it was love or lust instead of love and lust, it made it a little easier because they are two separate things. I came to Narcotics Anonymous because I didn't want to use anymore. I couldn't find any other ways to feel okay, you know. I tried everything to feel okay. Love was really foreign. When somebody would show me that they loved me as my mother, as my sisters, you know, or as a friend, they could see that I was really unable to love myself. I closed that right down. Closed it right down with another hit, with another whatever I was doing at the time. I just thought that if everyone else put more effort into it, I would be okay, you know. If everyone else just left me alone, you know, tried a little harder just to leave me the fuck alone, I would be okay, you know. They were bothering me, you know. I came into the program, and I was psyched. You know, I finally felt like maybe this is going to be okay. You know, maybe I had a chance. I was really tired. I've been feeling really tired a lot lately. A lot of not physically, a lot of emotional stuff has been happening lately, and and I was worried that some of that might come out. I mean, what really is happening while I was up here sharing, you know? Not what I think is happening, not what other people are telling me is happening. I've been afraid of that. I've been afraid that I haven't been able to get down to the truth. I feel like I'm on the verge of recovery right now. I feel like I'm on the verge, but yeah, I am right in it. I'm right where I'm like really, really deep into my recovery right now. But it doesn't feel so good. There's a lot of pain involved. There's a lot of change. I'm hanging on to old and familiar. I'm hanging on to the way things were, forgetting that in order for me to come into the program and stop using, I needed to change. And to stay around for a little while, I needed to change. And I'm coming up on it. It's not that I'm coming up on a time where the change is inevitable, but I feel it happening. And it feels okay, especially today. I've been listening to people talk about love and talk about holding on, you know, and talk about the steps . I was trying to think of what I was going to say tonight, and I was listening to all these people and so much good things, and I've been in tears today throughout just listening to other people's struggles, and wanting to hold on to this stuff so I could take it home and send messages to other people, you know, that are giving me a hard time, you know, and bring it all with me. And I'm forgetting that I only have this for today, you know, and that really feels okay now that I see that. But anyways, so I came around, I first started, and I didn't believe that I could do this. I did not believe that I could stay clean for a day, and it was happening. And it really was happening. I felt like I was carried. You know, I opened my mouth sometimes and let people know me sometimes. I started to feel like I was okay, you know, but then I didn't believe it. I thought it was going to go away like everything else in my life. I would get comfortable with one bar, or I'd get comfortable with one group of people, and boom, it was gone, you know, and I had to change again. Nothing stuck around for a whole hell of a long time. But this was, and I couldn't believe it. And it took me a while to accept that, you know, as long as I kept coming back to meetings, this will continue. When I think about lust, the obvious thing is like to a male or to whatever sex, you know, and just to, that's the obvious thing, you know, but I got to think about when I lusted over my drugs, that it was totally selfish, that I went out there to get whatever I had to get and do whatever I had to do to get high, to not feel. I was thinking about that, and it feels like I've been doing a lot of that again lately in recovery. I don't want to feel mood and mind altering conventions, you know, trying to do anything to fix the way I'm feeling and you know, to cut it short, to rip myself off is what I've been finding out lately. I need to go through pain and I need to go through change in order to get anywhere. Bit of a difficult time. I was afraid to come up here and share. I always want to make everything seem okay to other people, you know. Been around for a little while and I'm afraid to share when I'm having a hard time. My emotions have been so extreme in the past couple days, in the past couple months, and I'm afraid that it's going to walk away from me, that my recovery is going to get up and walk out that door, you know. And I've had times during the day today and times where I see that it's walking closer to me. It's the total opposite of what I think it is. And I've had to be real sensitive of other people's feelings lately, because I haven't been real sensitive of other people's feelings. That love that was so freely given to me, I want to be able to turn around and give it back so bad, and it feels very difficult to do. Where I'm from, I live on an island. And we could do 90 and 90 in Narcotics Anonymous today. I'm proud to say that. It wasn't too long ago that we couldn't do that. But it also brings the same people to the same meeting every night. I don't have a choice to go to another meeting in Narcotics Anonymous. There's that one. And sometimes it's a little bit too intimate for me. Sometimes I'm not used to that, you know. I'm not used to having to deal with the problems and other people that I love so dearly, and they're right there in front of my face, and I feel like I have to edit how I'm sharing to stir somebody else's feelings every night. It's difficult. It's like we sit in circles every night, and I might as well put a chair in the middle of that circle so I could have my chair in the circle. You know, I need to share what I'm going through, and I feel like I haven't been able to do that. I don't want to stray away from the topic, But I think this has all to do with the topic also. I love everybody in here, and I haven't been able to see Narcotics Anonymous working on a whole, like with a lot of people who don't know each other but yet know each other, in a long time. And I really needed to be here, and I don't know if I could give anything back tonight to you, but I know what I've been given tonight from you. I sat in the banquet meeting tonight, and I cried along with someone else's tears, you know, and the love that was felt through somebody else's triumphs and through somebody else's joys and all that. And I was happy to feel anything, you know, someone else's pain. I'm not too sure how much longer I could share with her. I'm really not. I know that I've been feeling a real lot. So if you came in here for the answers on whether it is love or lust, I'm sorry. You're not. Looking out, and I see at least a few smiles that is throwing back a whole hell of a lot of love to me. And sometimes I come to meetings for the wrong reasons. I come to meetings for, but I get there and I listen and I beat myself up for thinking things, you know. And it's so human to love and want to be loved. It's so human to lust out and say, maybe if I had that, I'd be okay, you know. And all that stuff is okay. There's nothing bad, is what I'm learning. There's nothing bad about the way I'm feeling. There's nothing bad about, I can't talk right now. There's nothing bad about my thoughts sometimes. You know, it's everything that makes me up. It's part of me. And to accept that, and just try my hardest. You know, just try my best every day. It's not good enough for me not to use. Today is the way I've been feeling. I have not been taking what I've been learning in these rooms and bringing it outside to the people who I love and the people who kept me here. Thank you. I need to hear from you people tonight. Thank you for being here for me.
Chair up here, and if you'd like to come up and share, just raise your hand. If somebody wants to bring me a chair. Want to bring your chair up and come?
Hi, my name's Johnny. I'm an addict.
Hi, Johnny.
Love or lust? I know, when I first came around to Narcotics Anonymous, you know, it was because of the feelings that I was feeling, feelings of low self-esteem, low self-worth, and things like that. And I was just getting sick of feeling the way I did, and the things I had to do in order to get drugs, you know. And I prostituted my body, sleeping with men as well as women to get drugs. And and to get money, and that was like a form of instant gratification, maybe. And for a long time, I never felt love, or at times I thought I had. But in the long run, I came to find out, you know, I lusted these women that I went out with, and because more or less it was the drugs that I was in love with, and because the drugs always took priority over everything, and I had to come into recovery before I realized that, you know, but that drugs were the foremost thing in my life, and the things with the most importance. And it was like, first coming around to Narcotics Anonymous, it was like, you see all these beautiful women, you know, and I'm lusting all these women, and I'm like, oh my God, what do I do to be with her? And gradually I just came around, and I kept coming, you know, and they said, stay out of relationships. I've been in a relationship basically my entire life, and since the time I was 14 years old when I first started using, and I was in a serious relationship when I was 14 years old, and so it was periods of times I was without, but never really for any length of time. And after a while coming around, I began to feel people's love for me, and when at times I did not live myself, and I began to try and love these people back, and in really early recovery, I started dating a girl who had a lot of time together, and I had none. And that worked for, we were just dating, and we went on a camp out, and she says, you do your thing here, and I'll do mine. I says, that's fine, no problem at all, you know, because I've always heard people say, you run your own programs. And so, like, the whole weekend, she didn't talk to me, and then Sunday morning, I'm standing in line to get breakfast, and here she is sleeping with another guy, and I was all choked up, you know, I'll kill her, you know, and it's like, I was just grab her neck and strangle her, and I was pissed, and jealousy, envious, you know, and how come she's with him, not me, and I guess I was just lusting this girl, you know, I don't know, and, you know, but after about an hour, my thoughts seemed to funnel together, you know, it's like, maybe this is not God's will for me, and I accepted it as that. Now we drove home together, and I had to be at the area that afternoon, and at the area meeting, she says to me, any resentments? And I says, no. And she says, you sure? And I said, no, because I had let these things go. You people taught me that, not to hold it inside, and I talked to people about it, and that was, you know, that was basically just lust. And I got in another relationship with another girl, and, you know, she was totally dependent upon me. You know, she was looking for me for gratification, and where I was just trying to work my program, do what I'm supposed to do, and having her in my life was a bonus. And then we had a mishap together, and she stopped coming to meetings, you know, and there was nothing I could do, you know. And then I seen her at a meeting, so they really miss you, and what was I going to say to her, you know. And I tried to apologize, she wouldn't accept my apology, and things like that. And I tried to apologize for nothing I had done, and I think this was totally on her, and I haven't seen her since, but there's nothing I can really do. And now I've gotten in another relationship, you know, and I love this, you know. After a time, I loved people for who they were, you know, not what they could give me or anything like that. It's like, I loved people for who they were and whatever they were, you know, and because here I am, I'll sit up here, you know, and I'll have to tell you that I prostituted my body, but nobody in Narcotics Anonymous ever judged me for that, you know, and I felt immense guilt over that, and that was the most shameful thing I ever did in my life. But nobody in Narcotics Anonymous ever judged me or cast a stone against me because of that, you know. And for that, I'm really grateful. And that shows me this unconditional love in these halls. And now I've gotten this relationship, and I love this person for who she was. And You know, and then we began to get intimate together, and now, you know, I don't know if I really love her as my significant other, you know, and whether or not maybe I was just lusting her, or, you know, that's a choice I'm making up in my own mind now. And there's a really fine line between the two of them, you know, and it's really hard to distinguish, you know, and I would, like, lust for me would be, wow, I'd love to be with that woman tonight, you know, and I came up here and you see all these French women, you know, and they're just so sexy, and it's like, God, I'd love to be with that girl, you know, and then my head began, I started to get my thoughts together, you know, that's not what I came here for, you know, and so I just, I'm here for me this weekend, you know, I'm not here for self-gratification, though, you know, I'm here for recovery, and that's why I came here, and like, I know being up here, there's a lot of lust going on in my mind up here, and there's love for the fellowship, you know, but like I said, there's a fine line between the two of them, and it's really hard to distinguish. Like, this person that I'm with today, I really, you know, I'm having a hard time distinguishing between the two, and knowing whether or not I love her, and I know we have a great time when we're together, and she's got a little boy that I really enjoy being with, and but I'm having a hard time with him right now, and he's really a terror, and I guess I haven't been in her life that long to make that big of a difference in his life, you know, I'm not his father, and but I, for me, it's like, it's giving unconditionally of myself, you know, it's like, at first, it was just totally self-centered and working on me, and that was it, and now I've began to come to the realization that, like, I've, as soon as I've taken care of myself today, what can I do for you, you know, and expecting nothing in return, cause I know the things that I get in return, they're measurable, you know, and then usually not material value, and I don't know, it's, I was always looking for love when I was using, you know, and if anybody ever told me it was inside of me, you know, I don't know, I just would be talking on your ass, and but I've come to realize, you know, and God, my higher power, hid love inside of me, you know, and it was my job to find it, and that I've done that, and today I feel really good about myself today, and I'm not ashamed of anything I've ever done, and I can come up here and I can talk to 30, 40, 50 people here and tell you that I've done these things and let you know where I came from, you know, and maybe you haven't done these things, maybe it's still yet for you, who knows, and what, but I've, every time I've shared this, I've had people come up to me and say, you helped me immensely, and for me, that's been great, and I'm aiming it off the subject, and I don't know why I wanted to share tonight, but it's just that fine line distinguishing between the two, you know, as I begin to, I get really close with the people in the fellowship, male and female, and I try to be a good friend, you know, and as best a friend as I can possibly be, and, you know, and when, like, I become friends with a female, you know, it's not for outside reasons, you know, it's just a friend, and that's it, and I could never do that before, and the fellowship has taught me how to do that, and, you know, I never had friends that are women, and, because the only thing I ever wanted was sex, you know, and, I had the drugs, and so 9 times out of 10, I got what I wanted, and, that's, I feel guilt over that today in a way, you know, and that I used people, and you know, and that was lusting people, and yeah, I don't think I ever really loved anybody, you know, other than my family, and you know, I begin to love people that give unconditionally to me, and I try to give unconditionally to myself in return, and I get so much out of this fellowship, you know, and maybe just coming around a couple more, another one day after another, I'll begin to learn the difference, and I'm at a loss, so I guess that's time to stop speaking. Thanks very much. name is Eric. I'm a drug addict.
Hi, Eric.
This topic at first I thought had nothing to do with me. And this gentleman was just speaking. I said, what the fuck? Who am I fooling? This topic has a lot to do with me because it's a very big problem of mine. It was when I was using, and it is on a clean day too. Lust has distracted me, or I let myself be distracted by lust for women in rooms constantly. It's something that I really have to work on, and I think I have to look at it more closely because it's really unhealthy. I mean, you know, what I'm doing is I'm acting on these things. This lust. I'm not just, you know, fantasizing. I've already caused a little havoc in the little time I've been in the fellowship. That, you know, I don't know whether people were talking about me or, you know, it's already out that I'm a lust crazy animal or something. I don't think so, but I have a lot of problems with that, you know. I don't, right now, I find it very hard to have an attractive woman as a friend, knowing that I can't sleep with her. That was really hard to say, but it's really true. You know, if I know there's no chance of me sleeping with this woman, or if this woman is married, you know, I mean, I'll talk to her, but, you know, I won't get intimate with her, like, on that basis where I can't have sex with her, I can't sleep with her. And I didn't really even know this, you know. I couldn't really admit it, even to myself. It's a pretty sick thing, you know. Especially if you're straight, and you know you don't have drugs to use it as an excuse. You're in a fellowship where, you know, we're talking unconditional love here, and here's this guy that doesn't want to even have anything to do with a girl unless she'll sleep with him. Okay, I don't want to sell myself short, but that's really where it's at, and I feel badly about it. And it sort of slapped me back in the face, but it could get worse, you know. It really can get worse. And I think it's something I have to really closely look at so I can work on it, you know. Because I thought all the problems were, you know, drugs were the only problem. After the drugs, you know, there's no more problems, right? I'm a perfect guy if I don't do drugs. I'm a successful, capable person. Capable of loving and caring and being just a super good person if I don't do drugs. But that's not true. Addiction is the problem, and I have a lot to work on. I just want to add one more little thing here, is that this convention is blowing me away. I've had, like, within the last 2 days, I've had an experience of, I don't even know how to describe it, you know. It's my first convention, and I'm just overwhelmed. I'm really, really, really touched by this, you know. I'm really touched how we all have the same thing about us that, you know, really unites us, and it blows me away. I'm just really, really touched by it. And a lot of people came to talk to me and share with me and help me because I was, you know, hurting a lot. And I never let things out like I did in these marathon meetings. I stuck through about 7 a row at one point, and I just let out all the shit, and a few Americans walked out the door with my load. But I thank you very much for letting me share, and thank you very much. Thanks.
My name is Andrea, and I'm an addict.
Yeah.
I've been afraid to raise my hand all day and come and say anything. The thing that I've learned in this fellowship about lust is that I had to write about it in my fourth step. I did things for lust that I have to make amends to people about. And with love, I don't have to make any amends in the relationships that I had love. But I do have to make amends in relationships that I had lust. I'm working on my sixth step, and I went to the 6, 7, 8, 9 meeting, and when it was over with, went up and did some writing, and really looked at my character defects in a real honest way. And I was sharing with Jill earlier this afternoon that when I boiled all of my character defects down, the center, the core of all of it was fear. And even with my lust, I mean, there was a point where I was in a relationship with a person that I did everything I could to get rid of my child on the weekends so that I could be with this person. I did things at work that were dishonest. The whole relationship was based on dishonesty, and a whole lot of all things that I need to make amends about, all things that I feel shame about, all things that my disease is centered on. To me, lust for my, the way I see lust today, it's based on disease. My fourth step and my fifth step today had revealed to me that lust is based in disease, and love is not based in disease. Love is recovery. What that leaves me with, I have had a semi-relationship with a person that started in disease, started in lust, that I pulled away from. The person doesn't have a clue as to what's going on because he doesn't understand recovery and he's not in a fellowship. I find today that with any relationship, if I'm doing something if I'm spending time thinking or doing something other than where my feet are supposed to be, I heard that in the meeting today too, that, you know, where your feet are is where you're supposed to be. If I'm doing that around a relationship, it's probably not a healthy thing that I'm doing. And I don't know how to do relationships. I feel like I'm sort of in a limbo, but the other thing that I'm learning about this whole process is that I never had a relationship with myself. I'm learning to have a relationship with a sponsor. I've had I had a sponsor previously, and I didn't share who I was. Today I'm sharing who I am, and she knows everything about me. There are no secrets. And I think she's the first person in my whole life that I've shared everything with. I've slept with people. Some of the relationships that I've been in, we had stretches where, you know, we had marathons that went on and on and on, just like the drug marathons went on and on and on. All of that stuff I shared in my fourth step, and all of that stuff was based on fear. And when I lust, I'm running from something. I'm trying to get away from something. And love is a new thing for me to learn. I don't know. I'm learning how to love myself. And I really believe that until I really learn how to love myself and become more of a loving person, it's going to be real hard to be a loving person with someone else. In fact, I see that I can't do it. And it's like being suspended in midair. It's like being in limbo because I don't know how to do it anymore. But I see people that have come before me that do it and have done it. And I don't know. I don't know if any relationship is forever. It isn't forever. I mean, life goes on and things begin and end. But the love doesn't end. The love that I'm learning to feel in these rooms doesn't end. It may change. There were people that lived in our area that moved away, and I felt really sad because some of them moved away, because some of them came in at the same time that I came in. And I thought, boy, there's not ever going to be any people like those people that were there. I always felt like the one that was left, you know, like friends moved away and I felt left. Fear of abandonment, I guess, is what it, you know, it boils down to. But there are people in my life today, I mean, the people that left still love me. But there's new people in my life today. So I guess the thread that I see running for me in my life is that lust is disease and love is recovery. And if I'm doing anything that I have to be ashamed about or that I have to make an amends about, it's probably something I shouldn't be doing. Not probably, I shouldn't be doing it. And if I don't have to make an amends, and I don't have to lie about it, and I don't have to get rid of my kid so that I have more time, and I don't have to lie at work, and I don't have to be ashamed, then it's probably something that's okay. Thanks.
Hi, I'm Sean. I'm an addict.
Hey, Sean.
My heart is pounding, and I'm very scared and very nervous. I was here 2 years ago to Montreal for a conference, and the same topic was discussed, and it was in a big auditorium, and there was a lot of people there. And I got so screwed up, I was sick, and I had to leave. And this time I really wanted to share because... I don't know, my mind is just everywhere. You know, I hope that I can come across with something. I want to hear more what I have to say. Sitting up here, when I put myself in a position where I'm talking and it flows out, then I hear what I have to say and I hear where I'm coming from. Where if I'm in my head, then I don't know where I'm coming from and I don't know where I'm going. As I grew up, with love, I had to perform sexually from the age of 5 to 13. And I believed that was the way that I was to get love. I believed that I had to do these things. And I was so deprived of love that I did it. I was willing to do anything. And I did it. And that caused me a great amount of pain. And after the age of 13, the lust for love came. And I began to take. And I began to be abusive. By the age of 21, I couldn't handle it anymore. And I became abstinent. And I've been abstinent since. And love and lust are two very confusing things for me. When I feel that I love someone, I get scared. I feel very vulnerable. I feel that I have to do something for that love. And that scares me because what I had to do as a child hurt me bad. And I don't want to have to do that anymore. And I understand that I don't have to. I understand that in my head, but not in my heart. My heart still hurts from all that. I deny myself lust. I will not look and lust. I deny that. Because that too is pain for me. This whole area has probably been the most painful part of my life. The part of my life that I wanted to get away from the most. That drugs really helped me facilitate. Drugs made me oblivious and I didn't care on whether I had a relationship or not. I didn't care on what I was doing to myself. I just didn't care. Now I do care. Now I have to feel what it is that I've been pushing down for so long. And that's the pain. And now I have to come to learn what love is. And to learn it properly and to let it grow within me. But that's very hard for me. And I know the last time I was here, I wanted to come up and I wanted to share, and I couldn't. I was so sick. Today, I'm glad I had a chance to come up here, and as shaking as I am, and as emotional as I feel, I'm glad I had a chance to come up, because you know, the last two times I've been at these, you know, I've heard people share about promiscuity, and I wanted to share about myself, you know, because I feel so lonely, because I'm not out for that. I'm so afraid of sex that I'm not out for that, and that's a pretty lonely place for me. That's pretty fucking lonely. Because all I really want is love, and yet I'm so afraid of it. It's a double-edged blade for me. But I really, right now, I do believe in my heart that this is the place that I can find it. This is the place that I can get the strength, along with my higher power. I have a lot of confidence in my higher power. It's me that I don't have much confidence in. I have a lot of confidence in my higher power, and I have a lot of confidence in NA, because I've seen it working. And I've been around for a good amount of time, more time than I ever thought I'd ever do. And I've seen a lot of miracles here, just in myself too, in small ways. I don't know, I think I'm just going to end there, and thanks very much for listening.
I was always really like, I felt as though like people were really sick of my shit, you know, and like whoever I talked to, you know, like they had heard it a million times from me before, that I have a crush on this one, I have a crush on that one, and it's a different one every day, you know. And I know that, you know, I know in reality that, you know, it's only because I think about it all the time in my head that it seems like I talk about it all the time, and that really people hear other things from me too, you know. But it sort of felt like that was all I was thinking about and all I was talking about. And I don't know, Jill, her honesty gave me the strength to start talking about it, you know. And it's been a really hard thing for me, and I've never gotten up here, you know, in front of this many people and said, I don't feel okay without a man in my life, you know. And I haven't been without one, you know, in a really long time. And I guess now I have like a little over a month clean from relationships, you know. And I consider that, you know, it's clean from relationships, you know. When I'm in a relationship, I don't know how to have a healthy, loving relationship. I don't know how to have a relationship that's not completely dependent, you know. And, you know, for me, when I'm in a relationship, you know, or when I'm out there thinking that I'm all right now and that I can look for somebody, you know, that's using for me, you know. And I hope that someday it will be different. And I know that the woman who shared at the banquet tonight gave me a lot of hope, you know. I mean, I really felt like her message was a message of hope in a special way for me, because, you know, she did it, you know. She stayed absent from relationships for 2.5 years, you know, and today she has a healthy one, you know. She has the one that she always dreamed of, you know. And a lot of times I don't believe that that's ever going to happen for me, you know. It's just another thing, like, you know, like thinking that I couldn't get clean, you know. Like, And then, you know, I started to believe that maybe I can stay clean today. Maybe I do have a choice about picking up or not, but a choice about being happy, joyous, and free now. Not me. You guys can be happy, joyous, and free, not me, you know. And it took me a long time to realize that, yeah, I can, you know. And I'm still getting that one on a gut level, you know. It takes a long time because my disease is right there telling me, no, you can't, you know. You're a piece of shit. And, I don't know. I guess it's going to take just as long or longer to start believing that maybe one day I can have a healthy one, you know. Because that's what I want, you know. I want that intimacy. And we get it here in the rooms, too, you know, and that's another thing I'm realizing. And I forgot the guy's name, but the guy that was sharing before is talking about not being able to have a relationship with a woman that he didn't think that he could sleep with. And I had an experience with that just a couple days ago, actually. I have an H&I commitment back in Western Mass, and this commitment is about half an hour away from anywhere else that's in our area. So, you know, when we go up to the commitment, we ride half an hour up and half an hour back, you know. So I got myself a speaker, you know, and my motives were all wrong, you know. I wanted to ride half an hour up and back with this guy, you know. It wasn't that I wanted him to carry the message into the hospital, you know. And I called him up, and he said that he couldn't speak. Well, first he said yes, and then he couldn't because he forgot that he had another commitment. And he was going to get his phone book to give me some more numbers of people that could speak for me. And he goes away from the phone. He comes back. He says, oh, shit, I left it at my girlfriend's house. You know, I didn't know that he had a girlfriend, you know. And as soon as he said that, I was like, all right, whatever. I wanted to get off the phone, you know. And then he asked me, you know, how was your day, you know. And I don't know, man. Just right then, I started kicking myself in the ass, you know, because I said, I have an opportunity to be friends with this person, you know, to be friends with another recovering addict, you know, and I respect this person as a beautiful person, you know, and all I wanted to think about, you know, was whether he had a girlfriend or not, and if he did, then I don't want to have anything to do with him, you know. And so anyway, we talked for a little while, and we hung up the phone. I felt bad about it. I called my sponsor, and I went through it, you know, and I went through the feelings. And later on that night, he called me back, and he can go now, you know. And I don't know, it's just weird the way it happened. He can't go when my motives are wrong, and then when I work through it, he can go again, you know. So who knows what's going to happen on Monday. But, you know, I don't know. I feel like this convention has been special for me, you know, because I've been getting it more in my gut, you know, and realizing that I want to make this commitment, you know, because I said to myself, I want to make a commitment to stay alone, because I never stayed alone for the first year of recovery, you know, and I want to stay alone for a while. I say 6 months now. Hopefully when I get 6 months, I can go for a year. But, you know, but whenever I say that, you know, there's always that other voice that's saying, no, you don't, you know, you don't want to do that. You know, you're all right, you know, and furthermore, you're young, you know, so you're allowed. You know, I have all these reasons why I'm allowed, but we all do. Thanks.
Hi, I'm Bill. I'm an addict.
Bill. Hi, Bill.
I was in this meeting last year, and I came for answers. I didn't get any in the meeting. The answers were inside of me. When I left here, I went upstairs and I wrote a poem. What the bottom line to it for me was, love feeds the heart, lust feeds the ego. I use lust for control because I can control the situation when I'm lusting over a person. The minute I have to get close, I have to get intimate and allow somebody into me, I get scared, I get full of fear, and I run. So lust is where I stay, and I'm nervous as hell. This is the first time I've ever spoken at a convention. I find lately that I'm very angry. I'm fighting myself because my motivations for being around women aren't to my own liking. My motivations for being around women today are because I want my ego fed, because I don't feel good about myself. I haven't really done the things I need to do in the past few months. I'm being very hard on myself. And I'm not accepting that sometimes I need females around me just to make myself feel good. I'm not just admitting that to myself. I'm saying I'm doing it for all the wrong reasons instead of just saying, what's wrong with having a friend? I'm trying to slip back into my old ways. I'm trying to force myself. There's a part of me that wants to take advantage of situations, and there's a part of me that doesn't want to take advantage of situations. The part of me that wants to take advantage is a lot stronger than the part that doesn't right now. And that's something I haven't even admitted in my own home groups, but I've known it all along. And it's only because I don't feel good about me. It's the bottom line. I don't feel good about where I'm at right now. I feel better now, but that's okay. Lust was something, when I was out there, I used it to degrade myself. I used it basically to get what I wanted because I didn't know what love was and I couldn't handle love. And today, with this program, I start to feel better about myself. And some days I'm able to handle it. Some days I'm not. Right now I've been going through a real... it's a wild situation. As soon as somebody told me, I love you, I'm in love with you, I ran. I ran away because I don't deserve it. You know, I feel inside, deep down inside, I don't deserve it, so I run away. Somebody else phoned me up. I jumped at it because it was a lust issue and I could control it and I could run away. I could go and do the things I needed to do to satisfy myself for them, but who paid in the end? I paid because now I'm angry. I'm the one that pays all the time. What it is I have to start feeling good enough about myself to change those needs, to change the needs of being loved. I have a warped sense of love. You know, my warped sense of love tells me I sleep with somebody and that's it. I got my love and I can run away now. My true sense of love tells me I get to know somebody, I stay with them for a while, then we work it into a relationship and we go from there. But that's too hard for me. It takes too much time because I want everything yesterday. So I take the easy way out. I'm aware of it. I'm not so willing to change it. That's my problem. I don't have the willingness because I have a lot of fear. And fear paralyzes me. Thanks.
Mark, I'm an addict. I'm nervous also. I'm going through this issue, and it's been going through all through my life. It's been a major issue. I feel alone a lot of times. And I feel it's never going to come, that perfect relationship that I have envisioned, you know, that girl, that's the one, that picture, you know, it's never going to come. Sometimes I feel good about myself if I get compliments or I get attention, and other times I'm nothing, you know, I'm inferior. And I heard a girl speak at a meeting one time, and she said she had an acute case of having an inferiority complex and an overblown ego at the same time. And I could really relate to that. That sense of being alone, it's like killing me. Like I'm always lusting, and whenever love comes around again, like you were saying, I run. If true love comes around, I run. I'm afraid of it. I'm secure in lust, in that fake feeling or just sex, and that's it. And I feel like I even try and kid myself and say that's all I want, just sex. And I believe I want more. But I think I'm also starting to believe that I cannot have a healthy relationship without, before I have to start loving myself. How can I allow someone to love me if I don't love myself yet? And I'm really glad I'm sharing this in front of women, because it's not something I would do at all in normal circumstances. Something I hid from women. That's all, thanks.
My name is Cliff and I'm an addict. Classic case of having everything rehearsed and then forgetting everything. Did I say my name is... Okay. This is tough for me as well, because this is one... Certainly not on this subject. But it's a convention, you know, special, so... Go for it. You know, the thing is, there's so many things. I mean, obviously I have a problem with this or else I wouldn't be up here. But, you know, I'm all for a little lust, you know, as long as it doesn't control you, you know. And the thing is that, I mean... You know, it usually gets the better of me. I mean, you know, I go to a meeting, you know, I mean, let's face it, you know, in this program, there are a lot of good-looking women, and, you know, Montreal is a hard place to live in if you've got any libido at all. And, you know, like people were saying, I mean, I've done so many things for the wrong reasons, but like Shelley was saying tonight... you know, we all go to meetings for different reasons, and as long as we're there, I mean, I've gone to meetings for definitely the wrong reasons, you know, just because I knew somebody was going to be there. And, you know, it turned out, I really got something out of that meeting. So, you know, in that way, you know, as long as it gets me to the meeting or gets me to a commitment, gets me... into a rock and roll band or something, you know, like doing all these things for the wrong reasons is just what it all boils down to. But the thing is, I get something out of it, you know. And the thing is, as Mark was saying, you know, classic case of, you know, the huge ego and then being, you know, terribly insecure at the same time. I mean, just, you know, you always have to have that constant attention. Oh, yes, yes, I do like you. Yes, you're cute and all that. And, you know, and it's crazy, you know, the constant struggle between being a fucking egomaniac and, like, quivering in your shoes, you know. It's, I've really realized from this meeting that it's time to sit down and do some serious writing. And, you know, because as somebody else said, do these things because there's a void. There's a terrible void. Ever since I stopped using drugs, there's a big void. You know, I've been substituting addictions, transferring. And, I was very lonely when I was using, and as a consequence, you know, I would sleaze anybody that I possibly could. And the thing is, I won't, you know, I must say for recovery that it's gotten better, you know, my habit You know, I've learned to say no, although it's really tough. You know, I mean, it's almost, I can't honestly say that I can go up to a beautiful woman and say, you know, what an attractive woman. And, you know, I'd really like to get to know her before, you know, I seduce her or whatever. But it's getting there. It's getting close to that, you know. And, I mean, it's going to take time, you know. It's the program is helping. Although what I've actually been doing in this program is I try not to get that close to a lot of the women, you know. You know, that's I guess it's a good idea. And being in your first year of recovery, just, you know, hanging out with the men. Besides that, I'm just straying here. As far as love goes, I'm the same like almost everybody else here. You know, I play games. I mind screw and the whole bit. I mean, I will not break down these walls, peel away these layers, because I'm just, you know, I'm terrified of, I guess, being hurt, you know, and being vulnerable. And it's just, you know, it's torture, you know, when you're going with somebody, and you just, it never really goes anywhere, you know. You want to get real with them, you want to get honest, but, you know, it's just so hard. And, I guess that's about it. Thanks.
Recovering addict. My name is Walt.
Hello.
Hi, family. I don't know. For this addict, love is enhancing each other's spiritual growth with no expectations. And I was able to experience that in recovery. We still remain friends today. We are no longer seeing each other for whatever reason. I guess stuff secondary to the disease of addiction. And today what I'm trying to do, not what I'm trying to do, what I do is I fill that void of not having a woman in my life with lust. I still don't want to go through the emotional detachment of the relationship. So I choose to use a character defect. I'm fortunate today I haven't allowed it to become a shortcoming. I haven't acted off that lust. And although being here at the convention, you know, I heard somebody say there's a lot of beautiful women. It's crossed my mind, lust a few times here. I'm not going to lie about it. But I haven't been really gone overboard with it. You know, I'm not feeling too good this weekend, so I've been sleeping a lot and just taking it easy. Talking service work with some addicts, you know, to keep my mind from those character defects. And I do a lot of praying. I do a lot of conscious contact with my higher power when that lust enters. I'm presently working on the sixth step, or the sixth step is working in my life. I made that choice this morning to let it work in my life. I'm working on becoming willing to have this character defect removed. I'm up here visiting the woman that I was in a relationship with. You know, that's the main reason I'm up here. The second reason is to come to the convention. But, you know, to be honest about it. And we remain friends today, and that was one good thing. We began as friends. And turned into a very loving, healthy relationship. And And when she moved back up here, decisions were made about our relationship. And again, things secondary to the disease of addiction really, closed the door on continuing that relationship. So we mutually, ended the relationship but remained friends. And again, the emotional detachment has been rough for both of us. We stay in contact and we talk about it. You know, we're working through it together. You know, it's not that I need to work through it alone. You know, there's love there. And we want to, detach, in a nice manner. It's easy for this addict, many relationships that I've been in, you bitch, get out of my life. I don't want to see you no more. You know, and that was it. But having learned about living life, through the spiritual principles of this program, it's taught me to work through and not end a relationship like that, because there's a friendship at stake. You know, we're still recovering addicts. And I have a lot of women friends today in recovery. That amazes me. When I was active, I only thought of women as one thing, keeping barefoot and pregnant. You know, I have 5 children to, agree with that concept, I guess. And today, we're all the same. We're all human beings. We all have the same feelings and emotions. I never knew that until I came into recovery. So I look at men and women on eye level today. I don't put anybody up on a pedestal, and I don't look down on anybody. And that's what these spiritual principles have taught me, to do stuff like that, you know, if I choose to. And learning about love was really amazing. I didn't like what happens when that relationship ends, you know, the pain, the abandonment, the hurt. I felt slighted, like, hey, HP, what's going on here? You know, it's not supposed to be like this. And for whatever reason, it'll be revealed to me if my higher power chooses to reveal it to me. And so I fill that void now and again with lust and other little character defects. I was taught, and I heard it last year at this convention, it's not that it's okay to lust, but when we act off that lust and allow it to become a shortcoming is where the problems arise. And so far it's in this addict's head, it's not behind enemy lines now, because I'm getting it out here today. I could be called on it at any time. Hey, how you doing with that character defect, And that's what I need to do. Come up here and share that so addicts get to know me and could let me know when I'm off the wall, because I don't know it half the time. And the only way I could do that is by sharing what's happening with me. So, I don't know. It's great to be up in Laval, not Montreal, but it's just great to be up here and be around recovering addicts. I choose not to be anywhere else today because of the newcomer that came in. He just let me know that it's not any better out there, and where I'm at is the place to be. So I'm going to keep coming, and thank you.
Thanks, Joe.
One more. I know that maybe some of you have had your hands up for a long time, and it's really hard to pick and choose. I could have seen their hand up first, but Victor, I'm going to come up and we'll have to close.
Hi, my name is Victor. I'm an addict. Regarding the topic, I can't share with you tonight. I'm not ready yet to share with you about the past, but I find it. But I forced myself to share this. I've been hanging around the rooms for a little bit over a month. I had 2 relapses, and both of them because of lust. The first time I relapsed, I was in a meeting and I was just 6 days clean. And I was really sick. I was having the shakes, headaches, everything. And after the meeting, this lady came and to comfort me, and she was very nice. I see some people laughing, but still I have to say it, okay? And I asked her for her phone number. So maybe what she did is she did the right way, but I asked the right, the phone number for the right reason too. I really didn't have her as a date, or I didn't want her in my mind. Just for, she was comforting me, all right, so I felt it's okay to ask her for a phone number to call, talk to her, because all the people that they gave me their phone numbers were males. They always had this habit of opening up with females more than males. And she right away, I felt resentment because she said, no, it's better to take a man's phone number, you know. So I went out of that meeting hurt, and I went on a relapse. I never shared this before with anybody. I'm sharing it for the first time. The second time I relapsed, I shared it last week, why I did, and some people are here and they know why. You know, like I met a girl that she is active in drugs and spent the weekend with her. The first night I controlled myself to be clean. The second night I couldn't, you know. And tonight I came around 5 o'clock to this convention. First thing I did, I went to the second floor hospitality room with a couple of my friends that came with to have a coffee. First person I see this lady that she was at this meeting. I said, hi. She turned around, she said, oh, hi. And I saw this look in her eyes again, that she still looked at me as a sex maniac. I don't know why. And she gave my two buddies a hug, and she didn't touch me. And believe you me, like, I don't, you know, my thoughts are not clear, but right now, but I love this fellowship for love, for the love I felt from day A I came in. Not for the lust, for the love, because actually I went to drugs because I was looking for love and I couldn't get it, or I thought I'm not getting it. So I came downstairs and I was in tears. I was physically, literally in tears, and I wanted to leave the convention. I wanted to leave, and I talked to my friend. He said, well, my friend is my sponsor and I'm really planning on sticking to this program. And he said, he mentioned the word lust. He said, maybe you attract her and she's scared, she's that scared of herself. But honestly, I wanted to leave and go back and do drugs tonight. And for the same bloody reason again, which is the topic tonight. And she shook me to a point that after that, I'm afraid to hug anybody, any woman, because every time I see this person, which was every time, it's the second time, I don't know why, you know, like, I mean, that's the feeling I got, or that maybe I'm right, maybe I'm wrong, but I had the courage to hang in and stick around and calm myself. I went to the banquet and I felt very good after a certain while. It took me a while to get myself together. I really want to say I appreciate the love that I feel here. But I'm not looking for lust. I mean, there is a lot of lust out there. Thank you.
You all for sharing. If I didn't get to you, I'm sorry. Nothing personal. It's so many times. Jason, would you read this for today? Yeah.
Hi, my name is Jason. I'm an addict. Just for yourself. Just for today. Tell yourself. Just for today, my thoughts solely on my recovery, living and enjoying life without the use of drugs. Just for today, I will have faith in someone in NA who believes in me and wants to help me in my recovery. Just for today, I will have a program. I will try to follow it to the best of my ability. And just for today, to NA, I will try to gain a perspective on my life. Just for today, I will be unafraid, and my thoughts will be on my new associations. People who are not using and who have found a new way of life. So far, I'm going to follow that way. I'm not going to be here.